news and more, including state-by-state reports on the nation's premier youth organization. This is FFA Today on Rural Radio 147.
Hello, and welcome to this week's FFA Today. I'm your host, Janet Atkinson, and thanks for joining us. Now, over the past couple weeks, we've been recapping and diving deeper into all the action that took place at this year's 92nd National FFA Convention and Expo, including introducing you to the members of the brand new National Officer Team. And this week, we're going to wrap things up by sitting down with Eastern Region Vice President Tess Seibel and Western Region Vice President Lyle Logman.
I'm Alex Wojcicki, joined by Tess Seibel. She has been named the National FFA Eastern Region Vice President. Tess, what is going through your mind right now?
You know, I'm just in shock right now, and people said it may be like that for a little bit, but that's okay.
Let's go back a little bit. Tell me about when you decided that you wanted to become an officer.
So I zipped up the blue jacket for the first time in sixth grade, which was 9 years ago. And I always looked at national officers and thought that they were super cool people, but never thought that I could actually achieve that goal that I had. And so I started really thinking about it when I was a freshman in high school. And so it's been a long road that I've been in FFA, but it's been really exciting to see that growth and that continued passion for FFA.
Give us an idea of what you were like as a member, what you were involved in, and the things that you did.
I loved public speaking and leadership development events. So my favorite contest was Parley Pro, and I was on my state winning team for that. But I also was really involved with the Agri-Science Fair. And so that was what I did with my SAE, primarily on my family's beef cattle and vineyard operation, was science.
So for those who don't understand the process, what is it like?
Yeah, so it's a long journey. It's been 18 months of preparation. So they really test all facets of your skill set, but also your personality to really see if you would be a good fit for this organization.
Clearly, you are incredibly successful, but this journey did not come without hardships. Tell me about some moments that you struggled.
You know, this is actually my second year running for national office, and so I was not someone that was here this time last year. I was sitting on the floor and really didn't know what path my life would be headed, but I really want to thank my family, and I also have some really great coaches from Virginia and throughout the nation that really just poured into me and said, you know what, the person that you are inside of that blue jacket is the same outside, and I wouldn't be here today if I didn't have those people. And so that hardship was learning that sometimes the things that we want to do the most don't come easy.
From those role models that you mentioned, what is some of the best advice that you've received that's really helped you in this journey?
The best advice that I could tell anyone, whether they're in sixth grade in FFA or running for national office next year, is to just be yourself. We hear that so much, but FFA needs people that can just be authentic throughout the year to really serve and impact FFA members. And so be you, figure out what makes you unique, and live that fully and unapologetically.
What is your goal as vice president?
One of my goals is to just be an authentic individual. I know that we look at national officers sometimes and we see them as perfect. We're not perfect, I can tell you right now. We're people, and anyone can do this. And I know that that sounds like a big goal, you know, when you're in seventh grade, but it's true. And it comes with just being yourself. And so my goal this year is to just be authentic and to encourage FFA members to start believing in themselves.
A year from now, which will come before you know it, this will be all wrapped up. What do you hope happens in that year?
You know, I always said that if I could impact just one person, my time would be worth it. And I truly believe that. You know, I know that there's 700,000 people in our organization and that I may not get to meet all of them. But I know that by just being authentic and being present in every moment, that those small interactions, those small moments are going to mean a lot to not only those people that I meet, but also to myself. And so I hope that my impact is that I was just present and I was authentic. And I know that whatever path I'm meant to go on this year will help me get there.
Tess, let's talk about your future a little bit, future goals and what you want to achieve.
So my future goal is to be a nurse practitioner in rural areas. So I come from a pretty rural area in Virginia, and so a lot of people say, you know, this is a kind of unique career path in agriculture, but we need people to do non-traditional agricultural careers to still serve our industry. And so I see myself working in rural areas in Virginia as a nurse practitioner and helping advocate for agriculture in an unusual way, but still advocate nonetheless.
And how has FFA prepared you to do that?
FFA has helped me develop self-confidence, but also really critical thinking skills. I mentioned that I was a part of the Agri-Science Fair. That's really helped me think on my feet and be prepared for whatever life throws at me. You know, we can make plans all we want, but the ability to be flexible really helps us achieve the goals that we have.
Do you have a favorite moment from your time in the blue jacket?
I loved FFA camp growing up. I went every single year. And so one of my favorite moments was playing capture the flag at FFA camp. I loved it. And anyone that has a chance to go to camp, definitely recommend that.
One last thing for you. As members get to know you, what's something that we may not know about you?
That's a good question. Something people may not know about me is that I have worn glasses since I was 4 years old. And so I'm actually blind as a bat without my contacts or glasses. So I relate to you. If you're a glasses wearer out there, definitely close to my heart.
Do you have anything else you want to share?
I really want to thank the people I have. My mom and my dad and my brother Andrew and sister Claire, but also my coaches, Brian Walsh and Dana Fisher and Shannon Norris. You know, they mean the world to me and I would not be here without them.
A big congratulations goes to Tess Seibel. Reporting for FFA Today, I'm Alex Wojcicki.
Carissa Lair reporting for FFA Today, announcing the 2019-2020 National FFA Vice President, Lyle Logman. Lyle, what are your feelings right now?
I'm incredibly humbled right now. I'm just very excited, and this is opportunity of a lifetime. And I'm just thinking about the people who helped me along the way to get, you know, I owe a lot of people in a lot of different ways for making me who I am, and that's who I'm just thinking about right now. But I'm extremely excited for the year to come.
When did you know you wanted to get involved?
When I wanted to get involved, particularly to run as a national officer, I guess about a year ago. The first national officer I came in contact with, I was a freshman in high school, and we had a special kind of interaction in which, you know, he really took an interest in me and wanted to reveal my potential, and he took an interest in what I took an interest in, and from that point on, I knew that I said that's what I want to be. I want to be that for students, because you know it means so much to them, and you know when someone comes up to them and speaks to them and asks their name and asks their interest, it really validates their existence and it makes them feel valued and that they're interests are also valued.
Lyle, you have a huge year ahead of you. What would you want to get out of this year?
Well, I'm going to be an agricultural educator at Eastern New Mexico University, where I'm getting my degree. And what I'd most like, you know, I love agricultural education. I love teachers and I love students. I love to watch students and watch teachers, how they perform and how they interact and how they model and things like that. And that's really what I'd like to get out of this year. A huge, great knowledge, not only from a service component, but also to know how can I be a better educator in the classroom? What can I look at by making these chapter visits and facilitating to huge conferences and speaking? What can I learn from that that'll make me overall a better ag teacher? And also help the people that I come in contact with pursue their interests as well.
Did you have any motivations along the way?
I had great motivations. I grew up that knowing from an ag teacher who told me that there's three ways to be a leader. The first is by example, the second is by example, and the third is by example. And I knew that's how I wanted to perform. That's how I wanted to be professionally authentic in the best way that I could. And that being the case, it really motivated me in the sense that I had seen people who had also done that and saw what they had done for other people who they'd come in contact with. And that really shed light on some of the things that I needed to focus on and make important aspects of what service really is.
If you could thank anyone from helping you along the way, who would you thank?
Oh, that's a tough question to answer. You know, I'd like particularly to thank my high school ag teachers, Rod Savage and Chris Flanagan and Brian Mitchell. You know, they influenced me in a way that really brought things into focus on what the true meaning of life is. You know, I'd like to thank Dr. David Frazier and also Lonnie Leglider and my granddad Travis Knuckles and Archie Keeney and a whole lot of other people who have helped me along the way and instilled in me what it really means to care about people and try to understand things from their point of view, and it really made me the person that I am today. And of course my parents and my grandparents, and I couldn't have done it without them, and they've had an extreme influence on my life.
Did you have any advice for the over 700,000 members associated with the FFA?
Well, you know, one piece of advice that I have, I've worked at a couple sale barns in the last 6 months, you know, the Clovis sale barn, and Roswell sale barn, and I loved working in that component of agriculture. And I was, we were done working one day, and I was walking into my boss's office, and I noticed there was a picture of a white draft horse on the wall, and the draft horse looked like it was pulling something. The picture's black and white, and it says in 1917 this picture was taken, and this horse was in a coal mine, and it was pulling this cart, and it only shows that picture. It said, well, it represents what we believe in as Americans. It represents fierce beauty and proud independence of what we believe in, and the tenacity and the grit that it took to build this nation. And the caption, it says, pull it one more mile. And that really struck me as something. I said, that's what I want to kind of example I want to show these members. Pull pull it one more mile in the face of challenges, in the face of things that appear hard, in the face of your fears. Pull it one more mile and give it all you got, because in the end, that's what really matters. Pull it one more mile.
Congratulations again to the 2019-2020 National FFA Vice President, Lyle Logman here. This is Carissa Larry with FFA Today.
Well, thanks to FFA Today convention correspondents Carissa Larry and Alex Wojcicki for their reporting. Well, stay tuned. Alex helps introduce us to this year's National Premier Chapter winners. That's right after this quick break on Rural Radio 147. Welcome back to the show. And now we hand things over to FFA Today convention correspondent Alex Wojcicki and Hannah Borg, who caught up with all three Premier Chapter winners, the Troy FFA in Missouri, the Waterloo FFA in Illinois, and the Edmond Chapter in Oklahoma.
Reporting for FFA Today, I'm Alex Wojcicki. The Premier Chapter Building Communities winner was Troy FFA of Missouri. I'm talking with two of the members, Lexi Vickery and Connor Calvin, both from this team. Connor, tell me a little bit about what you guys chose to do.
So what we chose to do is spread awareness on the national need for organ transplants in America. Because right now in America, there are 114,000 people waiting for organ transplants. So we just wanted to reduce that number and spread more awareness and more lives saved.
Lexi, when we think about FFA, we think about agriculture. This, maybe people wouldn't think about FFA, but tell us how FFA is involved with this project.
So FFA is involved within this just by using our leadership skills that we learn throughout the different agriculture classes we take. Me and Connor are both enrolled in leadership classes at our ag program, and so we learn how to properly reach out to our community members, but also we learn how to properly reach out to different members, such as the head person at the Cardinals, to learn how we can help with them on their day, as well as organize.org. And so we take all of our skills that we learn within those classes and we involve it in this activity and reaching out to different professionals around our community.
This project, Connor, was all about building communities. How has your community responded to this?
So our community has had several transplants in the last year. So we wanted to find a way where we could help find organs for these people in our community by spreading awareness and getting more people committed to becoming an organ donor in the future.
Where did this idea come from, Lexi?
So this idea kind of came from just hearing about different organ donations throughout our community. My neighbor actually had a kidney transplant, and then while we were thinking about ideas, there's also an activity that happened at the St. Louis Cardinals where they have a transplant day. And a man saw a picture on a t-shirt and realized that that was the guy who gave him his heart. And so they were able to connect. And so different stories like that, as well as from our FFA chapter, kind of thought us thinking about how we can help spread awareness for people like those.
Connor, you guys have officially received the national award. A lot of people think you peaked, but what's next for you guys? Where are you going now?
So what's next is continuing this program with our incoming senior officers, as well as informing our incoming freshmen about this activity, and hopefully branching out and reaching to bigger organizations, like Lexi said, with the St. Louis Cardinals, and hopefully just spreading more awareness and getting more lives saved in the future.
We've been visiting with Lexi Vickery and Connor Calvin, both of the Troy FFA chapter in Missouri, who was just awarded the Premier Chapter Building Communities Award. Reporting for FFA Today, I'm Alex Wojcicki.
For FFA Today, I'm Hannah Borg. Congratulations to Alexis Mudd and her chapter, who won Premier Chapter of Waterloo, Illinois. Tell me, Alexis, what does winning this chapter award mean to you?
Our whole chapter put a lot of effort into making this project a success, and for us, I think it's just a really great accomplishment for our chapter and a really spirit booster.
Tell me, what did your chapter do to win this award?
We made an exercise video, and we showed it to the first grade students to promote their healthy lifestyle, but at the same time, the committee that worked on it was able to grow exponentially in their leadership skills.
So what are some of the big life lessons that you learned working with your chapter, and what did your chapter learn throughout this whole process?
For me personally, it was like a connections thing, because I had the committee had a lot of independence and had to really figure things out on their own. So they had to work together on the committee to get the project to run smoothly, and they also had to work connections with, like, Ms. Bivens, the physical education teacher, and their other peers to recruit people for the video.
Tell me, how did you get the idea to do the exercise video, and how did you get the process started?
Really, it was an idea from our officer team. They just kind of said, hey guys, we had an idea for an exercise video. It'll help us meet this healthy lifestyle quality standard. You want to be in charge of that? And that was it. And so then from there, we had to do research. We're like, okay, I don't really know what you want, but we took it and we kind of got to develop whatever we wanted it to be like.
So what was the process like to apply for the award and come to National FFA to receive the award?
Well, it's been very stressful for the presentation portion for sure, and the practicing of the presentation. So that it was a lot very stressful, and the application was tedious as well, but then to win it was so unexpected. So
tell me, what's next for your chapter after you won this really big award?
Well, hopefully we continue to get to this position again with our future projects for this year that we have planned out. And we also want to continue these healthy lifestyles with other projects that we're doing. So hopefully all around this project will continue to live on through our chapter.
Congratulations again to the FFA chapter of Waterloo in Illinois. Now, joining me is the Edmond FFA chapter of Oklahoma, the premier chapter in the area of strengthening agriculture. Lexi, can you tell me a little bit about what winning this award means to your chapter?
It means everything. We put in a lot of hard work onto our podcast project. That was why we were chosen for the Strengthening Agriculture Division. And it's just absolutely amazing to see all our hard work pay off. And I can't wait to get back to our chapter and be able to share with them our success.
Tell me more about the podcast project that you completed to win this award.
Right, so the podcast project is named Ag in the Airwaves Podcast Project, and basically it was formed as an educational strategy for teaching our agricultural communications course, practical skills and research, forming a proposal, composing a script, utilizing audio editing software, as well as incorporating use of technology. And it took advantage of a popular audio media for education, news, entertainment. And so our communications course, we were in charge of producing four original podcasts in our agricultural communications course, and they were titled Thinking Outside the Barn, Reaping What We Sow, Abnormal Ag, and Career Connections. And we continued to create these podcasts even after the spring semester was over, and each podcast averaged about 412 reactions per month from January to May 2019, and that even warranted response from our governor, Kevin Stitt, who congratulated us on becoming a model of excellence and a premier chapter finalist, and that brought in a lot of listeners to our podcast series, and it's just been an absolutely incredible experience for teaching our agricultural communication students communication skills.
What was it like working with your chapter to make this all happen?
Yeah, it was a whole lot of fun. We had 19 students in our communications committee / agricultural communications course who were in charge of the podcast, and we put in a lot of hard work throughout the spring semester, and we're just so excited to be chosen as a premier chapter Strengthening Agriculture final winner.
If people want to listen to your podcast, where can they find you online?
They can find us on Edmond FFA SoundCloud page. We try and post podcasts about once every 1 to 2 weeks, and they're titled Thinking Outside the Barn. You can look on iTunes, Spotify. You can even look on our AET webpage. We posted our links to our podcast there, as well as our social media. And you can find us on SoundCloud, iTunes, Spotify. Yeah.
Congratulations again to the Edmond FFA chapter of Oklahoma, premier chapter in the area of strengthening agriculture. For FFA Today, I'm Hannah Borg.
Congratulations to the remarkable trio of chapters. Well, stay right there. We'll learn about a California member celebrating a repeat victory for her research in fruit production. That's coming up next on FFA Today. Well, thanks for tuning in this week. Now, finally, we visit with a young woman from the Golden State who was just awarded not her first, but her second national title for agriscience research proficiency. Let's meet Mackenzie Camacho.
Mackenzie Camacho, California. Mackenzie Camacho tested and experimented with bacteria, fungus, and fungicides in fruit production. Her first project tested the effectiveness of rinsing fruits and vegetables with tap water to remove bacteria. Mackenzie discovered the process does not remove a significant amount. She's a member of Noniels Minarets FFA, and her advisors are Richard Chapman, Keely Hall, Christine Mattis, Kenna Sandberg, Jessica Sweet, and Caitlin McDonough. Congratulations, Mackenzie.
Mackenzie, tell me a little bit about what does winning this award mean to you?
This project has been a lot of hard work over several years, and it feels amazing to have won. Although a lot of people who competed here today deserve this award, I am very happy to have received it.
So tell me all about this project that you completed for your SAE.
Yes, I had two projects for my proficiency. The first one, I was trying to help the community in California, and I tested whether rinsing fruits and vegetables removed bacteria from their skin, and I tested this to help people at farmers markets, because some farmers are trying to change the policy that requires a rinsing bin for the fruits at the farmers market, because this takes up space in their vans. And by proving that rinsing fruits does nothing to remove the bacteria from their skin, then hopefully this can be changed. As well as I did a research study on a fungus called Botrytis, where it has recently transferred into walnut trees. And because it's so recent in the walnut industry, there are no known fungicides for what works best in walnut trees for Botrytis. So I tested three commonly used fungicides in my area, and I proved that Pristine works the best at preventing the Botrytis growth in walnut trees.
How did you get interested in plant systems to begin with?
I went out into my community and I started asking different farmers about problems they were facing. And I was ready for any challenge, whether it had to do with machinery or livestock or plants. But the biggest problem I discovered was the Botrytis fungus in the walnut trees. And I decided to make this the focus of my project. And since then, I have grown to develop a strong passion for working with plants and fungus as well as fungicides.
How do you hope your research can touch others and impact others?
I really hope that my research can reach farmers and people where it actually matters, because the point of research is to help people and not necessarily for the pursuit of knowledge. So by publishing my work, hopefully in the future, I will be able to spread the word to farmers about my findings and be able to help them save their money and time with dealing with this fungus.
What are some challenges that you have had to overcome within your SAE?
I have had several challenges, but the biggest challenge I faced was in my second project on Botrytis. My first trial failed, and it was very difficult to overcome because I didn't know what happened or why it failed. But because I reached out and I contacted pathologists, I was able to work with them and discover how to properly grow fungus in petri dishes and treat it with fungicides. And it was a very difficult problem to overcome, but if I hadn't, then I definitely wouldn't be here where I am today.
What about some big life lessons that you've learned throughout this whole project?
A big life lesson that I have learned by dealing with this project is I have learned how to work with other unique individuals within my community. This project has given me access to working with several different pathologists and farmers who are dealing with this problem every day in their lives. And because of this experiment and these projects, I was able to work with them and be able to know my community better.
Who would you like to thank for helping you get here today?
I would love to thank my mom, who has helped to support me during all of my projects and competitions. And I would like to thank Shasky Farms in La Grande, California, and my dad for helping me with my projects and supporting me through all of my competitions.
When you hang up your blue jacket, what's next for you?
I am hoping to pursue a career in engineering where I will be able to continue to help people in my community, whether it's agriculture-related problems in the farm or in different aspects of the industry. I am going to be looking for problems and solutions to fix those through engineering.
Congratulations again to Mackenzie Camacho for winning the Proficiency Award in Agri-Science Research in the Area of Plant Systems. Reporting for FFA Today, I'm Hannah Borg.
Well, thanks once again to FFA Today convention correspondent Hannah Borg for her chat with Mackenzie. And that'll do it for this week's show. But if you have something you'd like to share on the program or an idea for something you'd like to hear more about, just let us know. Shoot us an email at FFAToday@FFA.org or give us a call, 855-RR-147. That's 855-776-6147. Until next week, I'm Janet Atkinson with FFA Today on Rural Radio 147, Sirius XM.